T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I don't think that we in Chicago have seen it, so it's hard for us to judge it. But I think the kid, as bad as the numbers have been, I think he's getting better. And I love hearing that Josh Sitton story.
Josh Sitton told the Green Bay media the linemen were breaking the huddle early while Trubisky was still calling the play. And he said, you know, you don't break the bleeping huddle. That's my bleeping huddle. I'll break it when I want to get back in here. And Josh Sitton said, I love that bleep.
And the idea that this kid is growing as a leader, because I think he's got some kind of swagger to him that we haven't really seen in his game yet, but it exists. And hopefully they figure out a way to use him correctly and get that going. But you better beat the damn Packers. Period. End of story.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
It's like these Russian guys, and they're telling you what to do. I'm not kidding you. It was extraordinary. You take like a water bottle or like an empty Coke bottle. You get a lighter. You heat the outside of the thing. You shove that thing into the broken out bulb, right? You see what I'm saying? A bulb.
So it bonds.
You leave it there for a second.
It bonds.
And then you just turn it, and it comes out. And boom, goes the new light bulb. And today, for the first time in 2 weeks, I walk out, I hit the garage door. Boom! Vegas vacation, baby!
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Why is it that you started doing your Elvis thing and I was singing along? What is it about Viva Las Vegas that just... The kitsch of it? Is that what it is? It's just so kitschy?
I wanted to put on a bejeweled jumpsuit and sweat profusely.
You guys were talking about the YouTube wormhole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I went to do an Elvis wormhole after
you?
Did you really?
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. What did you see, like, all sorts of early Elvis and all the... I mean, what is an Elvis
wormhole?
He's mopping
his brow. And
yeah, you know, the classic, the hips and the swaying and everything.
Yeah.
Squeezing 300 pounds into a jumpsuit. And
well, it was early era Elvis. Yeah. It was before all that.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Memphis and to
I've
Graceland?
Been to Vegas.
Graceland.
Graceland. No, never been to
Graceland. No interest? Any interest?
Not particularly.
It is so kitschy. It's almost unbelievable. It is really, really, really bizarre. Not only have I been there, but we've taken the kids.
Yeah.
I think it's Americana, man.
When you're in Vegas, you can see Big Elvis. We've done that.
We've done Big Elvis. That's fantastic.
Is he at Harrah's now?
I believe he's at Harrah's. Yep. Yes. Yep. He's down.
But when Elvis became Big Elvis or Fat Elvis, he used to eat the peanut butter, banana, bacon, deep fried sandwiches. You just get on his private
plane. All the time, keeping an eye on that television set. They are TVs throughout Graceland. And, you know, it doesn't hold up. Let's put it that way.
No, it's not much of a mansion, right?
No. And you go through and there's like this audio, and I think they changed it the second time I went there. But they had this guy and he was like, Elvis liked to dress formally for dinner. He would like get up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they'd have dinner, you know, like 11 p.m. all the time, keeping his eye on that television set. So he had like a formal dinner where he had a TV. They had like televisions outside. So if he was playing football, he could keep his eye on the football game. The Memphis Mafia, those were his buddies, you know. They had televisions everywhere, including the basement, where he had seen Richard Nixon with 3 televisions, one on each network, and he set that up. So he had 3 TVs. I mean, like, you could do that now. Well, you could get some shag carpet and throw 3 TVs in it. It would be pretty antiquated now. But if you wanted to, beside the jungle room – you could sort of recapture.
Who doesn't have a jungle room in their house?
No, yeah, it's, yeah. And he's buried out by the pool. So that's the end of the
cement pond?
Yeah, well, by the cement pond, Elvis's tomb is near there. It's bizarre.
Remember he used to take his private jet? I think he took it to Denver and would sit on the airport tarmac.
What's the name of his private jet? What's the name of his daughter? The Lisa Marie.
Does the jet still exist?
You take a tour of the jet, too.
Really?
You go across the street. Listen.
It's across the street?
It's across the street. The jet's there.
They not like Wayne Newton. Cars. Wayne Newton's jet was like the jet bridge was attached to the house when you land in Vegas.
Oh, my God. When you land in Vegas, you can see his house,
which
right off the airport.
Which has been in bankruptcy for about 3 decades or whatever. Because you know why? He's got a 737 attached to his house, and apparently that eats a lot of money.
Well, you know what the bankrupt corp says to that? Tonkashek.
But yeah, he had the, I remember he used to, some restaurant in Denver, I think they had the deep fried peanut butter and banana sandwich and with,
deep fried?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All the time, keeping an eye on that television set.
They would deliver the sandwich to the airplane. He would sit there and eat it before, they wouldn't even leave the plane. He would just go there you got a hankering for the sandwich. You'd get on the plane, go, and then go back to Vegas.
Oh, God. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
They couldn't make that in Vegas?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think the Elvis thing, I think it's tough to be famous. I don't know where else to go with it, but there was all sorts of creepy stories about Elvis with the Memphis Mafia and the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine
not
how
creepy,
famous
like
he was.
Louis C.K. creepy.
Elvis like peeking at girls dressing for the pool.
Okay,
kind of creepy.
Well,
I mean, I don't know how true any of it is. I'm just saying some, Red or somebody wrote a book that I read one time years and years ago. It was a little creepy.
Text her. I still have a jungle room. Of course you do.
Of course.
Thanks for sharing.
That's great. In the trailer.
And OJ, in fact, was kicked out of the Cosmopolitan and banned last night or yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday morning, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
He got boozed up at the hotel bar. Is that it?
Well,
and they came
depends who you listen to. Yeah.
And he's on probation, right?
He's not supposed to drink to excess. Apparently, some say he wasn't drinking. Some say he had been drinking. But anyway, the Cosmopolitan, they don't want to see him anymore.
As they turfed him out, as the two guys were giving him the bum's rush, they said, think of us as Florida. You're not welcome here. Wow. Weird stuff in the great landscape of American culture. OJ getting kicked out forever.
That didn't take long.
No. I got to be honest with you. He's not really on my radar.
I know. I thought the plan was once he was released from the Nevada prison, he was going to get out of Vegas. Like the first stop was the In-N-Out Burger or the McDonald's. What, you got the number four or whatever that his attorney said he went and got the number three or four off this. I thought he was going to head back to Florida where they can't touch his pension money. And
I thought he's going to try to find the real killers.
Well, yes. Boy. That
finally.
That had to go on a hiatus.
And if you have any skeletons in your closet, you better be understanding that this is all coming back to you.
Oh,
right?
This is
Louis
the
C.K. story.
Yeah, I mean, this is the week.
Oh, this is going to go on for a while because this stuff's been going on. I was actually, one of the publications that we follow on Twitter. I think it's the Tipperary Star. It's an Irish newspaper. At any rate, they had a story about Maureen O'Hara being, sexually propositioned during a audition in 1945. 1945, wow. Hollywood. She said that she was thinking of leaving Hollywood forever after this, ridiculous moment where this guy told her. And it's like, that's how long that's been going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when did they invent motion pictures? When did Hollywood open? That's how long that stuff's been going on. And now it's in Springfield, and it's, as a man with two daughters, it's just scary.
Oh yeah,
to see the way the world was functioning, and hopefully this ends it. But hopefully.
Apparently, the MGM Lion has stories to tell.
Oh boy, can't even imagine Vegas. Well, let's see. The Bears are working. They're getting ready. They are getting their healing. Still no confirmation that Kyle Long will play. He has not practiced this week. He's hoping to play. He's got a finger and he's got a shoulder. And he had that ankle, but I guess we don't talk about that anymore. And Marcus Wheaton went through a full practice without any restrictions. So he's back.
Was he able to catch the ball?
He might get a catch.
Okay, that's
good. He has a catch, right? There is one catch.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Danny Trevathan?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Question mark.
Will he be available? They're not sure. He's got that calf strain.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's not good. But Bears now a 6-point favorite. The total is up to 38.
6 points?
6 points for the Bears.
Does it go to 7 by kickoff?
I can't imagine it going to 7. I got to be honest with you.
And now did you see the what?
6 seems like
it's
a lot.
It's bear weather, too.
Oh, it's bear weather. Yeah. Okay.
The resurgent Bears, wintry mix, cold.
Blackhawks were terrible last night.
Oh.
The Blackhawks can't find any offense. Watch that game, and it was 2-0 before you cleared your throat, and Connor Murphy eventually scored for the Blackhawks. They were down 3-0. They lost 3-1. Good to see the defenseman score.
When Corey Crawford went over to get his blades sharpened and knelt down from the bench, it's not the blades. First of all, it's your top 2-3 lines, Corey Crow, and he had a rough first period, too. And, Sharpie summed it up in the between-period interview, saying, not much to talk about, guys. That was embarrassing.
The Hawks are in Carolina on Saturday night.
To see their old Hawks team.
At one point, they had a 5-3 power play, and they couldn't score.
Two-man advantage.
You know what Joel says about that?
Well, two-man advantage. Good. You got to take advantage.
Bulls are back on the court. They're hosting the Pacers, who have lost 4 in a row, and the 2020 All-Star Game is going to be hosted here. The Bulls will host the 2020 All-Star Game, so maybe by then they'll have some all-stars.
I was going to say,
right?
that should sync up with their schedule, right?
Maybe Lauri Markkanen is the MVP of the All-Star Game 2020.
My money's on Nico.
You're staying with Nico. Oh, boy. Who will he be playing for at that point?
Oh, come on. He's once and always a Bull.
Huge weekend in college football. Bad news in the NFL all the way around. Seattle wins, but they lose. They lose Richard Sherman. Ezekiel Elliott, the suspension's back on. It's on, it's off. You're in, you're out. You're here, now you're gone. We'll be talking about all this such matters at the 5 at 5 next. Molly and Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 back on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of 4 eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
What is your Bears-Packers prediction, and who will be the game's MVP?
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears, and I really want the Bears to win the game, and I think it sets the tone for the rest of the season, and I'm hopeful they're going to win. The Packers were god-awful on Monday Night Football. Can they really be that bad? Are they really just that bad? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal player, but he covered up for years of bad draft picks and mediocre free agency, and I guess that's the case. So I don't know how you don't take the Bears, because I think that if you're ever going to take them, if they're ever going to beat Green Bay, now is the time. Let's put it that way. So I took the Bears. I think I took it 20-17. So I wanted the under. It's 38 is the over-under. I would say if the Bears are going to win, it's going to have to be on defense. And if they're going to win on defense, I'm going back to Akeem Hicks. I think it starts up front, and you could say Eddie Goldman, or you could say Akeem Hicks, but one of those guys, and Akeem has gotten like a sack a game. I think if he can get a sack or two, they got to keep that kid under control. One of the things he can do is take off running, so try to avoid those kind of plays. I don't think he scares you at all in the passing game. It's just a dink and dunk thing. And so I'll go with the Bears, and I'll go with the MVP being a defensive lineman.
So how many points the defense scoring? Because
Brian, this game, this could be 6-3.
Yeah. No, I mean.
I mean, neither team does much scoring points, right?
You don't
17 points could win the game.
Yeah, 38.
The race to 17.
The posted total of 38 points is about as low as it gets in the regular season in the NFL. That seems more like a preseason total. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Bears are going to have to run with Jordan Howard. Look, everyone's going to pick the Bears. Everyone, which scares me. I mean, everybody in the world, no one's even given the Packers a chance. Because we all saw Monday night, okay? We all saw it. You know, maybe you weren't paying attention until, you know, they've been playing without Aaron Rodgers a few weeks now. But that the world seemed to wake up and say, hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. Did you notice how bad they are? That scares me a little bit.
Off a bye.
I don't know how the Bears get, you know, averaging 16.8 points per game. I don't know that the offense is going to have some sort of breakthrough here against a bad Dom Capers defense. Dom Capers is going to bring the house. I mean, he's going to bring the house all day against Trubisky. Hopefully he can handle that. I'm going to say 16-12. I don't see the, if you can, I'll take the 6 points. By kickoff, it'll probably be 7. I'll take that, but until the Bears show me they can actually run an offense up and down the field and score at will, and I haven't seen that. Again, one touchdown in the last 27 offensive possessions, that's just awful. I mean, that's just awful. So good luck to them. But it will not be as easy as everyone seems to think it's going to be.
Anytime.
So you take the Bears too?
I take the Bears, and I'll say Leonard Floyd will be my MVP. Leonard
16-12.
Floyd. Yeah.
Okay. I love it.
Anytime there's,
I wanted to go 15-12, just make it all field goals, but
Leonard.
I knew that would get somebody
Leonard Floyd
going.
And the under, yeah, Dustin it, yeah. Seething.
Yeah, oh, wow. I knew that would
what
get
a horrible Sunday.
I know, yeah. But that's trolling, Brian. That's
I know
what that's called.
But it's Friday,
so when the Bears are expected to win, we know what usually happens.
Yep,
I just can't get past what I've seen or not seen out of Brett Hundley. Since coming in, he came in early in that game against the Vikings, 10 points, 17 points, 17 against the Lions, and one was a garbage touchdown at the very end, one of the two touchdowns there. And he's faced some pretty good defenses, but the Packers have a horrible defense, giving up 56 points the last two games. This year, they've given up at least 23 six different times. I don't think that's going to be one of the times this Sunday. It's just been really eye-opening to much of the league. Wow. We know Rodgers is great. We know he covers up so much with that team. But the drop-off, is it like Colts without Luck? Is it?
No, it's worse than that. Andrew Luck's not Aaron Rodgers.
Colts no, without I'm not, Manning. Without I'm, Manning. Yeah. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
I'm saying that the Colts might have the worst table. Roster in right. The NFL now.
Well, I'm not without I'm not Luck. Exactly sold on Andrew Luck either, but that's a different
right, but,
story.
Right, but
for a
he
day.
Had them middle of the road at least.
Yeah.
And now they're very bottom of the league. I'll go.
What was the stat, though? The yeah. last five times Bears favorite, they not only didn't cover, they lost. And some texter said, actually, it's 10. They're 0-10. Is that possible?
10?
0-10.
It's 5 under.
It's under
Fox.
The John Fox era.
Okay.
So maybe they somehow were.
It's certainly under possible with Trestman.
He was just named the coach of the year, by the way, in his division, the Canadian Football League.
Saw that.
Wow.
I will take Bears 20, Packers 16. Green Bay definitely covers. I don't see the Bears winning by over a touchdown. Jordan Howard, my MVP, 2 touchdowns.
I think the Bears win. I think they cover just for the fact that I see a defensive score coming in this game. I think it'll be Eddie Jackson once again. I don't know if he's going to have 2 like against Carolina, but I think he'll get in the end zone. He'll be my game MVP. I think Trubisky will throw 1 touchdown pass, and the Packers get a couple field goals. So let's call it 20-6 Bears. Everybody okay with that? Dust, good?
Sure. I mean, listen, I want the Bears to win, but I also want to see something from Mitchell Trubisky. I know we had that talk yesterday and Mully wanted to find a razor blade. But I've got it 17-12 Bears. I've got it 1 point higher than Hanley. And I've got Jordan Howard like Joe as the if the Bears are going to win, it's Jordan Howard's going to run the ball. They're going to control the clock. And
so no one's
game.
Covering, right? We don't have any. We don't have no. a single person.
And Kevin,
here.
Kevin has them.
Know what we also
oh,
just
Kevin,
heard?
You do. I'm sorry.
Know what we also just heard? It's going
to
be. It's going to be a shootout.
Oh, listen.
Yeah. Oh, now it's going to be.
Now it's 50,
right.
The top, total being the 50.
The top yeah, I'll two bet against NFL that. Plays in the teaser this weekend are Packers plus the points. Bet that move that number down to like 32 and over. Okay, those are your first two plays of the 10-team NFL parlay on Sunday. All right, not parlay teaser.
It's a great question, and so many of them were so good. In fact, all of them I learned something from, that if I mention one of them, I'm going to leave out all of them.
God.
And if I try to mention all of them, I won't remember some, and I'll regret that.
Are you more excited to watch the Notre Dame game at Miami Saturday or the Bears game with Green Bay on Sunday?
Well, after all our great optimistic predictions of great NFL product and scoring with the Bears and Green Bay, this is a playoff game. I like playoff games better than the regular season games, but this is a must-win game. Man, this is a tough one. Must-win for the Chicago Bears if we want to continue to believe that they're on the right path. But, man, the college game has been so good this year. I mean, it's been so exciting to watch college football on Saturdays, and I've no affinity for either Miami or Notre Dame, but I'm more excited as far as a football fan to watch the Notre Dame Miami game Saturday night. But I'm sure the Bears Green Bay game is going to make that probably shows something that we didn't anticipate. But I'll go with the college game.
Huh? This is Dustin's dilemma. I don't think it's really mine. I'm looking forward to watching all of them. Okay, don't get me wrong, but the Bears Packers on Sunday, NFL Sunday, NFL Sunday. I'll definitely watch Notre Dame. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to Ireland against Denmark on 2:30 on Saturday in the World Cup qualifier. I mean, that's the number one thing on my sporting calendar, if you must know. But I'm totally pumped up and looking forward to both these games. But it's the Bears. It's Bears-Packers. Bears. Chicago. Not Notre Dame. I didn't go to Notre Dame. My brothers went there.
Your brothers went there. Yeah.
Well, I'm going with the Bear game.
I'm much more of an NFL guy over college, but there is so much more on the line with Notre Dame-Miami. If I had to choose, I know the question is which one I'm more excited for. I'm so excited to watch both games. If I had to choose, I'd probably pick Notre Dame-Miami, because a lot of the reason we're excited about Bears-Packers is because Aaron Rodgers is not playing. It's not because the Bears are good, and if the Bears do pull off the victory, yay, they're 4-5! All right! 4-5, baby! No, I'll go Notre Dame-Miami just because there's so much more on the line.
They only won 3 games last year, Joe. 4 wins is progress. I'm looking for progress. I will be much more excited to watch Bears-Packers on Sunday. You know, I'm not Joe NFL or anything like that, but I do enjoy the NFL much more than I enjoy college football, even though there have been some admittedly exciting games, especially over the past few weeks. But this is Bears-Packers. We are in Chicago. I moved out of Indiana a long time ago, so I am putting my fortitude, it's not the right word, putting my attention toward Bears-Packers.
Yeah, you're really going to be watching Blackhawks, Carolina Hurricanes, right? That's your must-see.
No.
Well, I never thought I would actually be here. I mean, Bears-Packers, you grow up a Chicago Bear fan, and you grow up in this great town or near this great town, and it's always Bears-Packers. But I got to tell you, I mean, I still remember vividly where I was when Miami went for that 2-point conversion and the ball was knocked down. It was Catholics versus Convicts, part uno, and watched that game with my dad, and it was a great moment and loved it. And this is going to be a great moment Saturday night. And as Brian mentioned, there is so much. It's an elimination game. There's a bunch. Saturday, as much as, Mully, you're saying NFL Sunday, and I'm with you, right? I mean, I love NFL Sunday. But this Saturday, there are 4 head-to-head elimination games.
Big games.
Big game. Like, yep. So 4 teams will be eliminated from consideration of the final 4. And we could come back here
TCU
on Monday.
TCU Oklahoma is right. A huge game.
Huge game. I mean, listen. Georgia's going to Auburn.
Yeah.
Okay, we're
going to
find
huge
out game. How good Georgia really is. Okay? Imagine if Auburn knocks off Georgia, right? And then later on, we've got Auburn, Alabama. I mean, there's just a bunch of huge... What if Iowa knocks off Wisconsin? But what if Wisconsin puts a thumping on Iowa?
Is Wisconsin rooting for Miami to lose because they're the team immediately in front of them, or they want Notre Dame out of the Final Four?
I think they want Notre Dame out because there's going to Notre Dame always carries a little extra weight. But to answer the question, I'm really geeked up for Saturday night.
Yeah, because you'll have about 3 Bud Lights in the old system before kickoff.
Sure, why not?
I may be at the Northwestern game. I think it starts at 6 o'clock, so I may be watching on tape.
And how many overtimes?
Exactly. 4. They're going for the 4th consecutive overtime win.
How many Bud Lights will you be in at the Northwestern game?
I don't think they serve at the...
Well, your pregame tailgate.
Well,
right?
If I take my kid, I will not be boozing, pal.
What's that weather?
Will he?
Saturday night.
will he? You are really something else. Well, he'll be having a Boilermaker. He's more of a Purdue fan.
Nice. Well played, Mully. Yeah.
Boy, you guys are ready. You guys are fired off the questions.
Seahawks receiver Doug Baldwin on Thursday Night Football. Quote, "This expletive should be illegal. It is not okay. It's not okay. You can quote me on that. Do you agree?"
God, I thought we went over this with what's his name? But didn't we just, didn't Richie Incognito just say the same thing
last
week?
It's every week, yeah.
I mean, okay, it's probably not great, but that's where the money comes from, and it's, you know, I don't know what to tell you. You want to get paid? That's how the money is parceled off. I mean, really? We're going to do this on a weekly basis, have an argument about it? Okay, get rid of the games. Give back some salary. How's everybody feeling now? You happy? I mean, it's part of their television contract. They, you know, is it a good idea? No. Are concussions a good idea? No. Is it going to change the sport? It already has. Look around the NFL. You know, you can't practice. You can't spend enough time on the field. So the level of play is this is not your father's NFL. So it's what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? I mean, okay, they shouldn't have started it, but they do it. They got contracted games, and everybody's mad about it every week. I, maybe he's right. I just don't want to hear it every week. You don't want to play, you know, grab your hammy and get off the field.
15 injuries last night. The most serious, obviously, Richard Sherman's ruptured Achilles. Now, he said he's been playing with this.
He said he's been playing with an Achilles issue
since
the whole
October.
Year, and he kind of knew that it could go.
And it went. And he called it a poop fest, Thursday Night Football, and he said, way to go, congratulations, NFL. So, normally he would get fined for those comments, but really...
Why single him out? I mean, it's everyone else.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, really, is the league going to come down on him after he just suffered a season-ending injury? You know
what they ought to do, seriously? Not extend Roger Goodell.
Oh boy, Jerry Jones all for that. Here's the thing. It's been expanding. What, 2006 was Thursday Night Football?
Yes.
Came to be, and with the last CBA, which runs till 2021, it's a 10-year. The only way you change this, Players Association, make it a strike issue. Now you can't do it till 2021 unless you're going to go wildcat on them and just say we're not playing.
But Brian, did they suddenly just notice this? This has been going on for
right.
a while now.
But it has, you know, it expanded in 2011, 2014, and now you got $450 million more in the bank, which they do share because NBC and CBS got split up 10 Thursday night games. You know, it started at 5, then it went to 7, then went to 13, plus Thanksgiving. I mean, it's pretty much every week now, where it used to be once in a great while. Maybe next year there's a suggestion to add a second bye so that any team playing on a Thursday night gets the week off prior to that, so you're not coming off the short week. You know, as Richard Sherman said, we didn't get home till 1 in the morning, Monday morning after Sunday. So what do you do? But, you know, the fact of the matter is, the only way you stop this, players, is to say next CBA and you're, what, 4 or 5 years out from that, 4 years out, we're not playing. That's it, all right? And it's so important to us, we're not playing, and if you don't,
if they want to protect players,
yeah,
and they're doing everything humanly possible to protect players, how can you have them go on a Sunday and come back on a Thursday?
It's
a legitimate question.
But
here's the other problem, Brian. Now you're playing how long? You know, get rid of all these preseason games. They're useless and meaningless.
But I'll be interested.
But they need them to sell
tickets. I'd be interested to see how many of those guys would make that a strike issue and miss weekly checks. You know, actually sit out for a couple weeks until the NFL acquiesced and said no more Thursday night games. It's great to talk about it week in, week out, but that is, they get 47% of the revenue pie, and that's a big piece of it. But, you know, if you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, that's a different deal. But I guess we're going to have to hear it for 4 more years. So, you know, the product's not very good, and you've had broadcast executives say it's diluting, you know, the ratings as well. But maybe the NFL's more likely to respond to that for Thursday Night Football than there's the injuries.
Yeah, I agree with Baldwin, but the thing is...
No, he's right, for sure. It's just...
No, you're annoyed by the players. I'm annoyed by everybody that complains about it every single week. That annoys me just as much. We all know it stinks. It stinks out loud. Now, I love the NFL. I sit there every Sunday from noon till 10:30, okay, watching every minute that I possibly can, but... I find myself on Thursday, unlike other years, I don't even think about the Thursday night game. I was jacked up for Chiefs-Patriots, first game of the year. Of course, Bears-Packers. That Chiefs-Raiders ending was amazing a few weeks ago, and it was also ridiculous at the same time.
Yeah.
But the rest of the year, I haven't found myself caring about one of these Thursday night games. And I'm not really sure what it is, because I know that the games are usually bad, possibly. They've had some bad luck with matchups. Bills, Jets, you knew that was going to be bad a week ago. Coming into there, you thought Seahawks, Cardinals would actually be pretty good. You don't know that David Johnson's going to be out for the entire year with an injury. Yes, I agree with Baldwin, but it's not going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't think it's ever going to.
I have as big of a problem with the jerseys that they wear on these Thursday night games as anything else. I mean, Seattle last night with
Color
the
Rush.
Oh, God, I get it. You're trying to sell jerseys. You know, you're trying to introduce new things into the marketplace. But that lime green is just so abhorrent and difficult to watch.
Did you see Richard Sherman's suit? That was lime green, too.
Color Rush suits are also instituted by the league now. You know, I think there's been one good Thursday night game this year, right? It was Los Angeles and San Francisco a couple months back, and that was a hell of a game. Other than that, like Joe, sometimes I don't even know who played the Thursday night game until I come in here and I hear Joe do his update at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I have so little interest in the level of play on these Thursday night games. I think, you know, like you guys all said, it's a matter of bargaining and the Players Association and eventually getting these things weeded out. But for the time being, they can't force me to care. I'm sorry. And the level of play is not consistently good enough. Too many guys are getting hurt, not only during these games, but, you know, in practices, non-contact injuries like Deshaun Watson or Zach Miller's knee being torn apart in a Sunday game. These all go back to shorter weeks and less recovery time for the players. So I think it is a problem that will be addressed eventually. But for the time being, you know, tune your eyes to these jerseys and get used to it.
I mean, quit your bitching. I mean, okay?
Me personally,
you two. Okay, I'm sick. I really, the narrative of the quality of play has got to stop. Okay, then don't play. As Mully said, grab a hold of a hamstring and sit out. Okay, shut up. You all want more money. How about you? Know, maybe the idea that they don't practice enough, so the body. Now you can tell me, oh, these guys are more well trained than they were in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, but there's a diff. Every sport, you become physically fit for the sport. And you know how you become physically fit for the sport? By doing the sport. Not by jumping up on square boxes and running around in your underpants and track shoes with no socks, okay? It's called shirts in, jocks tight, socks tall, shoulder pads, helmets, thigh pads, ass pad, all the pads you need. Get your hand in the dirt and snap the ball and hit somebody. That's how you get physically fit to play the game, okay?
Fight, fight, fight.
That's how you get physically fit to play the game. And the idea that Richard Sherman then admits that he had the Achilles and he knew it could go at any time. I mean, stop. Then don't play. Go again.
No, well, he said it.
There is not a requirement.
Sherman said he had to play for his team. Yeah. He's never missed a game.
That's fine. I'm talking in general.
I thought you were to respect that. 99 times he's taken the field.
Listen, I'm all for Richard. I'm upset with Baldwin. I'm upset with Baldwin. Listen, go. There is no requirement. It is not a birthright or a requirement that you have to play professional sports on a Thursday night after you played on a Sunday night, after you played on another Sunday. You don't want to do it? Then go somewhere else. Okay? Renegotiate the contract. Get people on your side. But guess what? Then your wallet's going to be a little lighter, because do you understand how much money CBS and NBC and the NFL Network pay for Thursday night football? And guess what? You guys, the players, get part of that check. So if you no longer want it, then say no thank you and renegotiate it. But I'd like to see them practice a little bit more and get in real football shape instead of, well, I have this explosive power. I can jump out of a pool and land on the pool deck. Look at me. I'm in shape. No, that's not being in shape. That's called being a genetic freak. Okay? Football shape is different. Every sport has a shape. And this is not how you get in football shape.
I mean, that's a good question.
Jed Hoyer said Thursday on The Score, the Cubs have to listen to trade offers involving their young players. Will they make a trade at the GM meetings next week? And which young player or players will likely be dealt?
Well, and he also said that basically the Jason Hayward San Francisco trade is fiction. So he, like the Giants, don't know where it came from. I think they will make a trade next week. I think they'll do it sooner than later. We saw them jump the trade deadline during, and we've seen that during the season a couple times now. So they went and got Quintana before the deadline, a couple weeks before the deadline. And if you're going to get, if you're going to make a play for Chris Archer with Jim Hickey in the fold, I would think there's no reason to delay it. You give Tampa your best offer, tell them you're serious, and don't just lay the groundwork. Go ahead and get it done. So I think they will make a significant trade next week, and I think Kyle Schwarber will be a part of it.
Yeah, I think that I think they'll definitely make a move. I think they've been setting up to make a move, and I think they understand they have to make a move, and I think that's what Theo talked about, and certainly Jed kind of echoed that. There, you get to a point where you got to trade someone off the roster, and they've probably gone through that. They probably understand exactly. You know, they've had all these players. They know what they have.
They're letting their fans know. Don't be surprised when it happens.
That is exactly what they're doing. You know, in order to get things done in the world, especially dealing with coaches, one of the important things is to plant the seed and to let the idea grow in the mind, and then no one is shocked and no one is horrified. And they've done that since the end of the season. They've known what position they're in. They're definitely making a trade or two, and they're definitely worried most about pitching. And as far as the Jason Hayward stuff is concerned, that is just people reacting to what they've seen and trying to come up with how would you trade Jason Hayward? Who could you trade him to? And you know, believe me, they know every little element of that inside and out. And I think it's going to be very interesting if someone ever asked Jason Hayward when he comes back here how he feels about all this talk, as whether it was media created or fan driven or real, which apparently it isn't. I think it's legit. There's a reason you have that conversation, because
you're trying to
this isn't working. Yeah. How would you get out of this? What do they have to do? ... I also don't think they're going to get Ohtani. I was reading some of that stuff.
Ohtani?
Ohtani, I'm sorry. The Japanese pitcher hitter that he wants to be a DH, whatever. He wants to
pitch.
He wants to pitch as a starter and then hit at least a couple of days.
He wants to play the field, too.
Well, I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah. You're not allowed.
Yeah, isn't a team just going to say, sure. Now
well,
you're here. No.
And I mean, if you're in the American League, you can have him as a DH,
right,
and you can, you know, as you say, Joe, I mean, the idea of like actually running the guy out there, I got a hard time seeing that happen.
How's his defense? Because he could actually pitch six innings and then run out to left field or right
field.
You know,
here's the thing. He's played something like 57 games as a corner outfielder. He has been a DH. So I think the DH thing is kind of the way he's going to have to go. I would imagine the Yankees, right? Just because he can maximize
the
money
right
he makes.
Away, yeah.
Someone said Seattle because there's a big Japanese population in that town. I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities. I'd be very surprised if he winds up here in the Midwest.
Before hearing from Jed Hoyer yesterday, I thought the Cubs would trade one of their young players. After hearing Hoyer, I definitely think they're going to trade one of their young players. Yeah. I'm just not sure if it's going to be at the GM meetings. I would lean no to that. But it's certainly in the realm of possibilities here. Young player to be dealt. Javi Baez is the guy. That's where I just keep going back to. Ian Happ can play four different positions.
He
kills right-handers. Almora kills left-handers. We know how they like to switch things around. Hayward's not going anywhere. Schwarber's value's down a little bit. Baez struggled again in the playoffs like he did in 2016.
Do you think a little bit, Joe? I mean, Schwarber's value could be way down.
It could be.
Oh, yeah, it's down.
It could. Yeah, okay, even more reason why Baez.
You would have to throw more in it if it's Schwarber, if it's Baez.
And I think that Baez's trade value is higher than Addison Russell. Because I think that if the Cubs were to trade Addison Russell, everyone would say, why are they willing to trade him? Boy, he must really have some issues off the field.
Well, the injuries, too.
Let's be honest about it. If you really think about it, I think that Addy, you know, went from being a guy that you thought was going to be an MVP. He had a down year.
Yep.
He had personal issues. Mm-hmm. If they're willing to trade him, that sends off that would be alarming to people. You know what I mean? Whereas Baez has always been almost an extra player in a way, right, in terms of a shortstop. So
and,
I'm with you.
Yeah, and they're both under control for four more years, but just because of the importance of the shortstop position, I think they would also rather trade Baez, and maybe his value did go up, showing he can do it at shortstop too for you.
I would hate to see him go, though, because I love that guy.
Who would you trade?
I would try to trade other people because he's my favorite Cub.
Okay. I said after the day after the Cubs were eliminated by the Dodgers that either Baez or Russell or Happ, I guarantee one of those three players will be traded. You're going to get more for Russell or Baez, but I think Happ could be part of a package. You have a little bit of a redundancy there in the middle infield with, you know, too many spots and or not enough spots and too many players to fill. So I think if I had to put money on it, I would say Addison Russell would be the most likely to go. I don't know why exactly. I just have a little bit of a hunch. And if there's any smoke to this Chris Archer fire, it's going to cost you a lot more than one player. I'm going to tell you guys that right now. It's going to cost several players. And
have you seen his contract?
It's favorable.
Oh,
it's quite favorable.
It's Quintana level.
So, you know, it's not going to be a one for one, Cubby fans. If you're out there thinking you could just swap one of these guys for Chris Archer, that's not going to happen. It's going to clean out a couple of guys on the major league roster and whatever's left in the minors.
Of course, there's going to be a move. I believe it'll either be Happ or Baez. Those two guys have the highest trade value, and it's based on what that team of those two guys finds to be more valuable.
This is a very important question.
For the Blackhawks, now what?
Stay the course. I think look, mixing up the lines didn't do anything. They went to the nuclear option, and it didn't work. So that's pretty scary. I think you got to stay the course. I think it's not just for one game. You give them a few games and see what happens. They're clutching at straws here. That was a really bad game for the Blackhawks yesterday.
Yeah, they generated chances, and Q talked about how they're hurrying their chances. And of course, when you're under pressure because you're not scoring goals for 14 straight games, you couldn't get three or more goals. That's an issue, but you did generate 39 shots, and Elliott was terrific in the third period in particular. You got to give this time to breathe and grow here. I mean, you can't just say that was a one-off. And plus, it was Philly, and you haven't won there since 1996 in the regular season, and it came out as if you knew that stat, and you knew that trend, and you just didn't went through the motions early on in that game in particular. So, now, you know, try again at Carolina tomorrow, and you got back-to-backs here, and here's hoping it starts to click over the weekend, but you got to give this now half a dozen games at the minimum to see where it goes, because you know what's the alternative? Joel's running out of alternatives, so he went to this one. He's got to live with it.
Yeah, last year when they went to this, I believe they kept it for around a couple of weeks, and at least a week. You have to try this top line again once you make that move. I'm wondering if we should still call it the nuclear option. Patrick Sharp. And he's turning 36 next month. 0 points the last 10 games.
Hair still looks great, though. That's one positive for Sharpie. At least there's one thing you can always fall back on with him. You can't switch things up from a game-to-game basis. That's not going to help anybody. So I agree with you, Joe. You have to give it a little bit more time here. But, you know, it is the NHL, and almost everybody makes the playoffs. But the more you see of this Blackhawks team kind of trickling a little bit of doubt starting to enter the mind a little bit, I think.
I watched almost every minute of that game last night, and I was not happy at all. I mean, Patrick Sharp looks like a guy that should be back at Comcast and doing the game next to Pat Boyle and telling us about how cool his suit looks.
Kick some ass.
Yeah. Anyway, you got to stay the course, but it seems like there's just not the effort, the drive. Yeah. They're still like, they've got that Nashville, that one bad week.
They're not
in
as slow as they were in Nashville. I mean,
but the hangover, it's just, yuck.
I find it amusing that you're both doing an impersonation of Pat Boyle based on Mark Grody's impersonation.
That's exactly right.
Boyle.
Yeah, you're doing Grody doing Pat
absolute
Boyle.
Best
Grody
impression
did
that Grody
Boyle
does.
So well.
And Grody's
that,
back, and Grody's back on the score, baby.
Telling
I heard
me,
him yesterday.
Taking money out of my pocket.
I heard him yesterday.
Have
the
a
day
word
before,
with him.
I believe, doing updates, sounding good as ever.
You can do Cubs pre and post then, Izzy.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mitch?
No.
Not over my dead body.
What? You don't have that kind of authority.
But he's willing to die for it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Put your money where your mouth
see
is.
See how much he values you?
Put it 35th
he loves
in,
you.
We're gonna he put just 35th and Shields
just,
guy from Northwest Indiana
no,
on the home
just
of the
said
Chicago
we
Cubs.
Can't lose
to
you
do,
in the morning.
He just told
you
to
how
do
much
the pre-post game show.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
All right, that is the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767. What's your Bears-Packers prediction, and who do you see as the game's MVP? Are you more excited to watch the Notre Dame game at Miami on Saturday or the Bears hosting Green Bay on Sunday? If you had to pick one, which would it be? What do you think about the constant the criticism of Thursday Night Football? Do they need to get rid of it? And how about the Cubs? Who are they going to trade? They're going to make a trade. Which of their young players are they going to let go? And Blackhawks fans, what now? 312-644-6767. Mully and Hanley on the score.
This segment was brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Then join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.